Welcome to New Creation Christian Center. My name is Harold Franklin, and I'm the pastor of New Creation. We meet on Saturday nights at 7 in Seattle, Washington. We hope the Word of God changes and challenges your life and that you are refreshed and renewed by hearing the Word, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we thank you for joining us. And now we'll get into this week's message.
Talked about my topic is just the conference name, Deliverance, Freedom, and Liberty. This is something, like I said, that God has put on my heart, because we as believers, a lot of us in here right now, I see we're believers. Amen. Everybody a believer? Amen. So we as believers have to know what it is to walk in deliverance from our past. Everybody had a past, right? We all had a past. It was different things that kept us bound, right? God has come that we hit. The Bible says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And the Bible talks about what he came to set us free from, and that's the law of sin and the law of death. Amen. So in that, he set us free from the things that had us bound. That's where we're starting at. And now once we are free, we can walk in the liberty and the calling that God has for us. Amen. How many of you know God didn't just save you so you could just come and sit in a church seat? Let me say that again. He didn't save you so you could just come and sit in the church seat. No matter if you're a pastor or not, he didn't just save you so you could just sit in the church seat. That's not that. For some reason, we get being a churchgoer mixed up with being a Christian. And they're two different things. Amen. When you are walking in the liberty of God, you understand what it really means to be a Christian. Amen. That's just why I call this, man. It's been on my spirit for so long. I just want to see the younger generation, even anybody that has a vision. I call you young. Amen. Because when you start losing vision for your life, that's when it's almost over. That's when it's almost over. Like when you like, what do you want to do with your life? I don't know, man. And then it'll go away. Right? One of my friends, Sharp Skills, I remember he was the first one that I heard say this, but when you begin to stop growing, you begin to die. Amen? Once you stop growing, when your mind stops growing and saying, hey, I don't know, maybe there's something else for me, you begin to die. So we as believers also got to look at the vision that God has for us. Amen? I'm going to use deliverance. The definition basically is a biblical definition that I came up with. And it's God rescuing us and freeing us from the bondage of a sinful life. I talked about that just a second ago. And that's so important, because today now we live in church and some of us think sometimes sin is okay. But God's view on sin has not changed. Amen. The Bible said God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Man, just imagine this. If you talk back to your parents in the Old Testament, you were stoned. Right? I was a kid. I talked back to my parents. I wouldn't be here right now. Right? How many of us have talked back to our parents? I mean, like, that's the popular thing now, right? Like, if your parents, man, my parents don't know what they're talking about. You know, I could do this on my own. We all have said that, but without the grace that God has given us, without the payment that he paid for our sins, we should have died instantly when we did that. And that's just something little. You might have told a little lie. Hey, did you do that, Jack? No, I didn't do that. Man, let's take him out and stone him. That was God's view on sin. Now we've got to a place where we think sin is all right. Like, oh, we're just humans. But you know what that is? That's bondage. You're living in bondage because you don't know who you are in God. It's so important to know who we are in God. I'm going to go to this first scripture, man. And there was so much stuff I could have said for this conference, but I'm just going to do the scriptures that God gave me. Amen. It's 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 11 through 23. Now, this is a story about Elisha and his servant. Amen. And the way you see yourself is so important in God. Amen. The way you see yourself, you're going to see how Elisha saw himself and how the servant saw himself while in bondage. And then what they did to get free from the bondage so he can just see what God sees. Amen? You got that, Mike? Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." So what is he saying? The prophet knows what you're talking about. God already, this part of being free, God already knows what the enemy is doing. And he showed us in his word, right? Some of us want to know, what's the devil trying to do to stop me? God showed you in his word. You have to stay in that word and stay in the presence of God, because this prophet was constantly in the presence of God. He was constantly in prayer, as Brother Sentai talked about. It says, so he said, "Go and see where he is that I may send and get him." And it was told him, saying, "Surely he is in Dothan." Therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army. Somebody say, a great army. They, Shakia, what they come with? A great army, but we coming in the, okay, here we go. And they came by night. And there's always something about night, man. And I love when I read scriptures, especially when I preach. God highlights words for me. It's crazy. But what night represents usually is some sort of darkness, right? Obviously. Somebody say obviously. Because it's dark outside. But not only in the natural, it's always a spiritual thing. You see, the guy that came to Jesus, Nicodemus, he came at night because he was in the dark spiritually. He didn't understand it, but God had to reveal to him the light even in the darkness. Amen? Let's keep going, though. That's a side note. Hey, go back a little bit, bro. I need to finish that. And they came by night and surrounded the city. Somebody say surrounded. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." See, this is something that we have to pray for the body of Christ right now. Lord, open their eyes so they can see what their calling is, God. Lord, open their eyes so they can see exactly what you have placed them here, God. Lord, show them who they are. This identity is so necessary for us as believers. Amen. It says, then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw the power of prayer. Brother Sentayu, man, I don't even have to say too much about prayer. He went in on prayer. But they prayed that his eyes would be open, and God opened this servant's eyes. Now, how many of us are praying for our loved ones that don't see who they are yet? We have to be praying constantly for them. Man, it hurts my heart when I see people that I love just don't know who they are. They're trying to figure it out. Man, that hurts my heart. Because God wants to set them free. The Bible says God doesn't want any man to perish. Matter of fact, it says right now he's holding his wrath back so people can get in. He's waiting. He said, this is our loving God. And people think, oh man, God is so cold. He just can't wait to kill. No, he's waiting. And it's a good thing he's waiting, because he waited for you to get in. That's a great thing. So some of us be like, man, God, I can't wait for you to come and rapture this up. Man, no, don't pray that. Pray, God, send in more people, God. He's waiting for some people to get into the kingdom. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. Somebody say he saw. Not Esau, he saw. And behold, the mountains was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Now, oh man, praise God. I a couple weeks ago, I saw an accident while I was driving. I was going on the way to the gym, but to drop my kids off before at my parents' house. And every time I drive by there now, I look and there's no way I could have seen the car in the natural. You kind of understand what I'm saying. Have anybody ever seen anything in the spirit before? So I drive by this street like every day. But that day I saw the car from far away. Right. So I go back and me and Precious, I'll be like, babe, there's no way. No way in my natural eyes that I could see that car coming because there's trees right here and it's not fall yet. It just started, right? Fall just started. So the trees got all the leaves or whatever, and they were evergreen, so those leaves don't fall off. But the tree was there. There was things blocking, but I saw this car not being able to stop. Not only did I see it, I was able to brake and honk. And if you see the corner, it's just like, I shouldn't have seen all of that. So I'm just so thankful that God, even in his grace and his mercy, would let me see something like that as simple as saving me from a car accident. And why did God do that? Because every time I get in the car, I say, Lord, please protect me as I drive, God. Let your angels surround us. I mean, some people look, oh, man, that's foolish. You say that. No, but God, I've seen God do it. And, you know, I used to get mad when somebody would almost hit me. But then I'd be like, man, thank God. Because accidents happen. But I'm like, God, thank you for keeping me. And I'm not saying that if you got in an accident that you're less spiritual than me. That's not what I'm trying to say. Just stay off the phone while you drive. You know, but really, there, these things that God will allow you to see things in the spirit when you're with him, when you're in fellowship with God. Amen. And this is for everybody. This is not just for somebody that's special. There's no special Christian. There's Christians that are just connected with God. That's what makes you special. So if you want that special connection, connect with him. Amen. Go ahead, verse. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now, don't go pray this prayer. Right? Our job is not to say, God, don't let them see who you are. Or God, I mean, see, this war that they were dealing with, this was actual war. And they were coming at the man of God. We see in the Old Testament, we see the natural spiritual warfare that we can see in the spirit right now. There's a lot of them actually combating different nations and going against these people. But now this is stuff that we wrestle with in the spiritual realm. Amen. That's why I think it's powerful when you see stories like David, stories like this, where in the natural, God even allow the spiritual realm to be shown. So what that shows us is the spiritual gifts that he's given us are not only just for the spirit, but they're also here for the natural. Anybody seen somebody operating in the spirit of God and you say, hey, man, that's power. Well, basically, you saw it in the natural. And that power that we have, this is all about walking in liberty. When you walk in the power of God, as Shaquille was talking about, they notice something about you. Sometimes they don't know what it is, but they're like, there's something about this person right here that when he comes in, it changes the atmosphere. I got a story about a banker me and my brother Che know, man. His name is, his name is Allen. I was about to not say his name, but hey. His name is Allen. And every time I came to his bank, this guy would light up. And I was like, wow, man, he's, you know, praise God. And one time he came up and told me, man, and he said, bro, when you come in my bank, it changes the atmosphere, man. And I was like, wow, I'm just depositing money and it's not a lot. You know what I'm saying? But he noticed something about me, so he started asking me questions. And I was like, yeah, I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, man, and I'm just serious about living and loving my God. And as we talk, every time he comes in, if he was down, he was like, hey, bro, I need prayer, man. And I was able to pray with him in his office. You know, he got that private office, so you can go in and, you know what I'm saying, we can shout and everything, close the door, whatever. But sometimes we look at that as little stuff, but God's presence was there. His power was there. Me and my brother Chamian, we've done a lot of outreach outside the clubs. We don't go in too many clubs. Cause man, there's the presence of the Lord, and then there's the presence of something else. right? But what I am going to say is when we stood on those corners, people said, hey, man, I needed to come here, man, because this is the only place I feel safe. I've heard people say that to us. And then they say, man, I'm just going to wait here for my friends. And we like, praise the Lord. But what we tell them is this is the anointing of God that you feel. We came and then that person that says that, we know that's a divine appointment for us to be able to minister to this person. And walking in liberty, this is all about walking in liberty, knowing who you are in God. Some of us here, especially ladies, that we kind of try to box them down and say, God can't use you, God can't use you, but God can. God can use you. Matter of fact, God has a plan for you. God has a plan for each and every one of us because God doesn't see us as male and female. He sees us as spirits. When you get to heaven, you're not going to be male or female. That blows our minds. I was like, God, I'm not going to be married in heaven? I said, hey, I'll take heaven, though. But God sees us as spirits, spiritual beings, because God is not, he's not limited to what we see. Amen. It says, now then Elisha said to them, this is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me and I'll bring you to the man who you seek. But he led them to Samaria. So it was when they had come to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes and they saw. And there they were inside of Samaria. Keep going. Now, when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, my father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? But he answered, you shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with the sword and with the bow? Set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. Then he prepared a great feast for them. And after they ate and drank, he sent them away and they went to their masters. So the bands of the Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. Now, somebody would say, man, he didn't even defeat them. Now, he actually had them make an alliance, right? He had them come and say, okay, look, man, we're going to be cool. Like, yo, bro, they spared our lives. So in this sense, he delivered the Israelites from the army that was constantly plaguing them. Amen. How did he do that? Because he knew who he was in God. He was a man of prayer. He prayed and God answered his prayer. Somebody in here needs to know that God does answer your prayers. Sometimes you feel like you've been praying for. Yeah. That you know how long that is when I say. You know how long you've been praying. But God answers prayer. And sometimes it may not come when you want. But God will answer your prayers as long as they're in line with his will, right? If you're praying for stuff outside God's will, those are not going to be answered. Matter of fact, I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. But deliverance, we have to know who God is, first of all. You see in that story, Elisha, he knew who God was. He knew who his God was. And he had such a close relationship with God, he can see into the spirit realm. Because nobody else besides his servant saw all those people that were there. So I wonder, you know, like there's always like little parts in the Bible where you don't really know what happened. I wonder if all them angels did something. How did they strike this army with blindness? That's what I want to know. You know, scientists would be like, the sun hit their eyes, the whole army, right? The sun hit their eyes and they were blinded for 2 hours. You know, they always want to scientifically discover what God can do, but you can't do that because God is God. Amen. Let me talk to leaders real quick. Some of us are leaders in here. You cannot show somebody deliverance unless you are delivered. Amen. Some of us, we can go to a church and if some of the leaders there are not delivered, you won't get deliverance. We need to see deliverance walked out. And why I'm going to talk about this is because Moses had to be delivered to be a deliverer. Right? Anybody know the story of Moses? We're going to go there. Let's go. This is my feature scripture. Somebody say feature scripture. I love my feature scriptures. It's like a movie. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I need some sound effects like that. Let's go to Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. And I'm going to be reading for a little bit. So we're going to go to this story. Go ahead. Now it came to pass in the days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. So now look, Moses knows right here that he is an Israelite, right? Now, Moses was one of the few kids that were saved, right? Because if you don't know what happened, Pharaoh was like, yo, these Israelites, they got too many people. Let's start killing the kids. I'm serious. So anybody, just like when Jesus was born, anybody 2, 3 and younger, they begin to kill. Moses' mom was like, I'm not having that. And see, some of us got to have that mindset. No, my kid is not going to die. Spiritually, my kid is not going to die. But anyway, that was a little bit too deep. Moses' mother was like, okay, I'm a saver. So she put her in a river and gave her to the, and God allowed the baby to be led to the princess of Egypt, right? Pharaoh's daughter. And Pharaoh's daughter was like, no, I'm not going to kill this baby. I'm not going to report it. I'm going to raise this kid as my child. And then God, in his greatness, was like, Pharaoh, his daughter was like, go get somebody to wean this person. And guess who they get? The lights are coming on. Moses' mom, right? So Moses' mom, because she had a mindset that I'm not going to let my child die, God allowed her to raise her kid even in the midst of Pharaoh's palace or pyramids, or whatever they had back then. I don't know. We know about the pyramids, right? But they had triangle buildings. Anyways, so we're here now, and Moses knows that he's not an Egyptian. So at this point, he sees their burden, and he wants to do something about it. Somebody say he wants to do something. At this point, Moses is like, I'm trying to set these people free somehow. So this is what he does. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. That's like brother. So he looked this way and that way. Somebody say this way and that way. Something about to happen right there. See, he didn't look up either. People don't look up when they're about to do something wrong. I don't know why. And when he saw no one, somebody say he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. So at this point right here, he's like, man, this is how I'm about to do it. Man, I want them to know I'm for them. Let's see what happens. And when he went out of the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to the one who did the wrong, why are you striking your companion? Why are you hitting your homie, man? What's up? Then he said, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Now, see, this is the thing. He didn't know who he was. So they challenged him. This is what the devil does to everybody out here right now. You don't know who you are. So somebody that's in bondage is going to say, who are you? Who made you somebody special? You ain't nobody but like you, just like us. So what does Moses do? Since he didn't know who he was at this point, he says, or they say, do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptians? They're like, bro, you got a record. So Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. So somebody saw it, right? Keep going. When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Somebody say a well. Keep going. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water, and they filled their troughs to water their father's flock. Then the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. When they came to Reuel, their father, he said, how is it that you have come so soon today? Because they got their job done super fast. And they said, an Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherds. And he also drew enough water for us and watered the flock. Now, I didn't even see this before, but they think he's an Egyptian. Interesting. So sometimes when you run from what God has called, people don't know who you are. Other people don't know who you are, so they think you're an Egyptian. So he said to his daughters, and where is he? Why is it that you left that man? Call him that he may eat bread. Somebody say, eat bread. Then Moses was content to live with the man, and he gave Zipporah, his daughter, to Moses. And she bore him a son. He called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a foreign land. Somebody say, stranger. Now, what happened in the process of the time that the king of Egypt died, then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of their bondage. Somebody out there is crying, trying to be free from their bondage right now. Keep going. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. This covenant was established with relationship with God. Keep going. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will not turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush does not burn? Oh, I'm sorry, he said, I will now. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of Egyptians. Somebody say deliver. And to bring them up from a land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and every other heights that there is. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression which the Egyptians oppressed them with. Don't you know the enemy is oppressing people right now? Now, therefore, did I read that one already? Okay, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I? Look at that right there. Some of you say the same thing, but God, God is saying, talk to them about Jesus. But who am I, God? I'm just a little guy. I'm just a little lady. I'm not nobody special. But God said, go. Amen. And obedience is important, as Brother Sitayu said. But he said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Now, what Moses is saying right here, he doesn't even know who God is yet. He doesn't fully understand who this God is that he's talking to. He just is like, this bush is burning. And it's talking. And it told me to take off my Jordans. Right? That's all he knows right now. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. See, that's the great thing about God. He don't even change. He didn't give them anything different. He just said, I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord God of your father, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared to you, or appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited with you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites. Oh, man, here we go again. And the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites to the land flowing with milk and honey. Then you will heed your voice. Then they will heed your voice and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt. And you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews have met with us. And now please let us go 3 days journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Now, I'm going to stop there, but I'm going to paraphrase what else goes on. So he talks with God just a little bit more and he's like, okay, God, I need a sign. Something that we all do, right? Because he's like, yo, this burning bush is pretty incredible. But give me a little bit more. See, sometimes we already got a sign, right? But we want a little bit more. So God tells him to throw your stick down. And it becomes a what? A snake. Now, I don't know why God made that stick a snake. Because, you know, snakes is, you know, that I thought that was a devil, right? But, you know, the snake's not the devil. So this is a side note. The devil was just in a snake at that moment. Like sometimes he's in some of us. Hallelujah. But so he does that. Then he puts his hand in his pocket and he gets some disease called leprosy, right? His hand basically turns white as snow. And then he puts his hand back and pulls it back out and he's cool. And he's like, okay, God gave me some signs. So he goes. But God delivered him at that moment because God showed him who he was. Amen. He was delivered at that moment. And then he went and saved the people, the Israelites, out of the land of Egypt after a couple of plagues that God dropped on them. Right. So they were free. Some of the Israelites, even though they left Egypt, they weren't free, though. Right. Everybody got free from Egypt, but they weren't free. They were free naturally, but like Brother Sintai said, they weren't free spiritually. Because what happened? They begin to, oh, Moses, man, what are you doing, bro? We want to go back to Egypt. At least we can eat onions. Now, how many of us eat onions like apples? There's some people that do, right? But that's not a normal thing. Right? They said, we can have onions, man. Now, I like onions on certain food, but that's not my choice food. I don't be like, what you going to eat today, onions? But that's what they wanted, right? That's all they wanted. They wanted the bondage. And some people want bondage. Chamian talked about their choice sin. They got this choice sin in their back pocket. Like, hey, man, I'll do everything else for God, but I'm just going to keep this for myself. I'm going to keep this here so just in case I'm not feeling good one day, you know, I got my instant gratification. Because that's what all sin is instant gratification, but it's going to kill you in the end. I told you that sin will kill you. And every time we sin, we die spiritually still. Galatians 5 talks about things that bind us. I'm going to go there. Galatians 5:11. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Like I said, I'm trying to get you guys out of here because I know you guys got work. I don't want you going to sleep at work and then say, because I was at church. I'm actually starting at verse 16. It says, I say then, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is what we need to be delivered from. These are some of the things. For the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. They are at war. And these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. This is a freedom that you have. That doesn't mean you're free to go do some of this stuff. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident. How do you know you're in the flesh? Because you do these things, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy. Now, that's something that we don't really talk about. A lot of us be jealous about other stuff people are doing. That's walking in the flesh. Outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, in which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in the times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's clear to say that these people were not delivered, right? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then it says this right here, and this is pretty dope. Against such there is no law. When you do the things of God, there's no law that's against that. At least in America right now. Right? Even people in their right minds, they're not going to say, oh, man, he has the love of God. Let's arrest that guy. They don't say that. Right? Matter of fact, you won't even people in the church, they'll say, hey, man, that person really has the love of God. They recognize these things. These are what we live in when we walk in liberty. Amen. I'm trying to get it. Let's keep it going. So we have to remove those things that are holding us in bondage. Those are some of those choice sins that we have. Let's talk about some of those Israelites that left Egypt. Some of them, like I said, were not free. They were not delivered. They didn't taste deliverance because they didn't listen. And I'm going to talk about this, man, because I was upset yesterday. Because sometimes when you tell some people, even us leaders in Christ, we tell people to do what God's word says and they don't do it. That frustrates me, man. I'm not even playing right now. I'm so serious. When you tell somebody, hey, man, just do what God tells you to do. Do the word. You can do it. Don't do what the devil wants you to do. Then they go do it. Right? They go do it. And as a leader, that's one of the most frustrating things, but it happens. But you don't give up on that person. Thank God. Thank God my parents didn't give up on telling me about the word of God. Thank God. Amen. Thank God somebody kept pouring into me because I messed up. But disobedience will keep you from being delivered. Some of us got that idea. I can do it myself. I know how to do it. Let me do me. You can do you. That may be good for you, but that's not for me, right? How many heard people say when you're trying to tell them about God, hey, that's good for you. But let me do me. Let me stay in my bondage. I like my bondage too much. That's really what they're saying. I like my sin. I love sin. Some people say I love me. They love themselves. But that same person, like Jamie said, when something's going down, they know who to call. And it's not the Ghostbusters. But they know who to call. They're calling you, oh man, can you pray for me? And let me tell you something about prayer, right? Some of you have been praying for stuff, but if you don't obey God, you are not going to get it. You don't like that, though. People are not going to like that because that means there's some kind of, there's a certain way to pray, right? But the Bible says those kind of people are double-minded. It says in James chapter 1, 6 to 8, first, I'm going to go to verse 5. It says, I get that from my dad. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. First of all, ask God and he will show you the way to go. Who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to you. But let him ask in faith. Somebody say faith. That means there's a certain way that you got to pray. There's a certain way you have to pray in faith. That means you have to believe that God is God. You have to believe that he runs this universe, that he's in control. And then it says, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That happens all the time. The water is always moving. It never stops. That's how people are when they're double-minded. You never stop. And when they're around you, they never stop. Right? Sometimes you need a break from those waters that keep never stopping. We need a Red Sea break, right? Like, God, I know you did this for Moses. Can you do it for me? But it says, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. When you don't obey God's word, you're not going to get those prayers answered that you're praying. And this is not a popular thing. This is not what people want to hear. They think, oh, man, as long as I pray, God's going to do it. No, if you're not obeying God, he's not going to do it. You can't walk in a store. No, I got this. I got this $20 bill, right? Now, this is half of a $20 bill, right? Right? There's no other part of it. You can't walk in a store and buy something with this half of the $20 bill. Right? But some people want to be this kind of Christian. Some people want to be this kind of Christian, right? Oh, man, I give God part of me. That's no good in the kingdom of God. Now, somebody put this in the offering. If you got the other piece, you can you can turn it in. You might have accidentally did that, but it's all right. But what I'm trying to say is, I said we ain't going to take two offerings, right? I'm just saying I can't do anything with that. But really, that's how we treat God. We want to give God just a part of us. That's not walking in deliverance. God wants all of you. Somebody say, God wants all of me. When God sets us free, he begins to want, he wants you to begin to help that cycle continue. Part of what revitalizes me as a believer is seeing other people come in to know who Jesus is. That's what makes you stay young in Christ, right? That's what makes you stay excited in Jesus. When you see more people coming into him, it's like, man, it's like I got born again. See, if I don't move in the area that God wants me to move, deliverance is not just for me. Once I get delivered, it's like freeze tag. I'm supposed to find out who's froze, and I don't got to, you know, slide underneath them or nothing like that. But we have a gift and we have deliverance, and God wants us to share it with other people. Amen. Now, a lot of us are already delivered. A lot of us are set free. Liberty allows us to walk in the call on our life without hindrances. Now, don't get it twisted. That don't mean that the devil's not going to try to hinder you. But if you have liberty, you know who you are in God, and that won't stop you. Right? Sometimes when we start to do things for God, you're going to find all kind of pressure. I remember the first time I went to do street ministry by myself, I got cussed out. Right out the door. We opened the door of the church. Hey, man, you want to know about Jesus? And bro, he gave it to me. And I was like, this is when our church was on Rainier, right across the street from Bank of America. And it was me and Marcel. And I said, bro, don't worry about that. That's just the enemy trying to discourage us. That night, three people gave their life to the Lord. But I could have been like, yo, it's going to be like this. Man, hey, bro, we could go play video games or something. Like, at least they ain't going to cuss me out like that. I felt crunchy. But God wants you to walk in the liberty that he has for you. Amen. When you know who you are in God, there's nothing that can stop you. And we always have to be reminded who we are in God. We have to look at this Bible and say, that's who I am. Every time I see what David did, oh man, there's something about David that is not preached a lot. It's when David's life ended, he led a lot of men to deliverance, freedom, and liberty. When David was on his deathbed, there was about 80 men, I think, maybe 40, let's say 40. 40 mighty men that he raised up that did great exploits like David did. One guy slayed a whole army by himself. When I read that, I'm like, God, when my life is over, I want to be able to look like David, man. I want to have a couple young men, several young men that say, man, hey, bro, he poured into my life and now I'm walking in the liberty of God. That's the ultimate goal of a believer. Some of you guys got to go look at that story. It got so many stories about what they did for God because they knew who David was and they saw how David functioned. We got to have that same story. Amen. Let us stand up. Let us pray. That's right. Okay. Let us all pray together. Lord, we pray for Hattie Turner, dear God. You know what her situation is right now, dear God. Dear God, you said we can call on your name, dear God, and people will be healed, oh God. I pray right now, dear God, that you would touch her body, oh God. Hallelujah, dear God. We come with all the authority that you have invested us, dear God, to show who you are, dear God. And we pray to God that those around her would know that you are God, oh God. And dear God, that you can do the impossible. Dear God, even if they said it's too late, dear God, we pray to God that you would move on at her behalf right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Some of you may be here and you're like, okay, I'm saved. But I don't know who I am fully. It's okay to admit that. If that's you, raise your hand. Praise God. If you don't know who you are yet, in the spirit, raise your hand. Now, not only is admitting it enough, now it's time to go search that out. Search that out by praying. Spending time with God. God is going to answer you. Like I said, just say, God, I want to know who I am. Everybody say, God, help me know who I am in you. Reveal to me what I'm supposed to do. That's all you have to pray. And he will answer you. Some of us are stagnant. We've been at the same place, same mountain, walking around Jericho for 70 years. It hasn't fell down yet. But that's because God wants you to know who you are. Amen. Hallelujah. And dear God, we're going to close. But if anybody needs prayer afterwards, we will pray with you. Because I know there's some people that have to go home. Dear God, we just pray to God. Thank you, dear God, for this whole event, dear God, that has taken place. Oh God, I thank you, dear God, that you are shaping and molding these people of God, oh God, that you're shaping even the people that are listening right now. Dear God, that you are changing people's lives right now, oh God. Dear God, that we would walk in the liberty that you have for us, oh God. That you deliver us from our past, oh God. Set us free from the things that have had us bound, oh God. Hallelujah, dear God. And we just give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name, everybody say, amen. Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that it would impact you, that you would continue to grow in your life with Christ. Once again, if you would like any more podcasts of our messages at New Creation Christian Center, you can go to www.newcreationwa.org and feel free to download it, share it with your friends and family so people can see how God is changing our lives as we continue to be formed into the new creation that He has called us to be.